Hello, and welcome to the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. I'm your host, Benjamin Douglas, and this is the show where each week I read a chapter from a different indie author. Thanks for joining me for today's reading. Hello, readers and writers alike. Thanks for joining me, your host, Benjamin Douglas, for another episode of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. Today is episode number 40. 40. Who'd have thought we'd made it this far? If you've been listening, thank you. I know there's a handful of you, and I really appreciate the ratings and reviews on iTunes, the comments, the follows on Twitter. I'm at CantankerousBen. I hope you're finding some value here, and glad to keep doing the show. It's been a lot of fun. I do want to make an announcement. That is, in 2 weeks, on December 30th, I will not be doing an episode of the Book Speaks podcast. That is the eve of New Year's Eve, so New Year's Eve is going to be my holiday break, because really just for logistical reasons, because I'll be traveling with family. Actually, I'll be in a car pretty much all day that day, so it won't make any sense to schedule a recording of the podcast when I'm already going to be recording next week's podcast in advance before I leave for that same vacation. So one missing week there on the 30th of December, but fret not. I will have an episode next week and again following the 30th of December to begin in 2018. But today, for a very special 40th episode, I'm happy to announce that I'm going to be reading from the work of indie author Al Macy. Yeah, and if you're on K-Boards at all, if you interact with the K-Boards community, you're probably going to recognize this name. I think his handle is Trombone Al. he's always got lots of good positive input on other threads, and he's always starting interesting threads about his own covers and sort of cover relaunch ideas and all sorts of fun stuff. He's got a series ongoing that's sort of a sci-fi mashed up with detective sleuthing story stuff going on called the Eric Beckman Mysteries. And I'm going to be reading the most recent release from the Eric Beckman Mysteries today, the first chapter. And that is A Mind Reader's Christmas. So get excited for that. And I want to say before I go any further that that title, A Mind Reader's Christmas, is just 99 cents today. That is Saturday, December 16th. And I don't think it's going to be 99 cents much longer than that. So hop on it if you're interested. I'm going to go ahead now and read Al's Amazon author bio, as always. Al Macy writes because he has stories to tell. In school, he was the class clown and always the first volunteer for show and tell. His teachers would say, "Al has a lot of imagination." Then they'd roll their eyes. But he put his storytelling on the back burner until he retired and wrote a blog about his efforts to improve his piano sight reading. That's when his love of storytelling burbled up to the surface, along with quirky words like burble. He had even more fun writing his second book, but was bummed by nonfiction's need to stick to the truth. Yucko. From then on, it was fiction all the way, with a good dose of his science background burbling to the surface. Macy's top priority is compelling storylines with satisfying plot twists, but he never neglects character development. No, wait, his top priority is quirkiness, then compelling storylines, then character development. No, wait. All right, and he leaves us in great suspense. Very nice, Al. He does, as you mentioned there, have a couple of these nonfiction books. I'm looking at Drive, Ride, Repeat, the mostly true account of a cross-country car and bicycle adventure. I feel like that's probably creative nonfiction. But then he has something called Create Space Formatting Sampler, a hold-in-your-hand gallery of formatting examples, which sounds dreadfully practical, and of course, the sight reading book, Becoming a Great Sight Reader, or Not. So Al and I have this in common. We're both musicians, which he sort of pointed out to me, and I think that's super cool. Anyone who's been following along the show may recall that in my other life, I'm a classical singer and voice teacher. So I thought what might be sort of fun is to go ahead and plug his Becoming a Great Sight Reader or Not book. And so I'm going to have a link to this book in the show notes and a link to his sort of website that he set up for that, which is almacyjazz.com. He says that this book documented his failed attempt to become a great sight reader and started his writing, quote, career, end quote. And the full title of this book, by the way, Becoming a Great Sight Reader or Not, Learn from My Quest for Piano Sight Reading Nirvana, which I think is very clever. And I wonder if that is supposed to be a pun or not with the use of Nirvana. I'd have to ask Al. Cool. Al's also got some nonfiction going on. Obviously, there's the Eric Beckman Mysteries, which, by the way, are also called Paranormal Thrillers, if that gives you a better idea of the tone. And he also has a number of titles in a series called the Jake Corby Science Fiction Thrillers. So a couple of different sci-fi thriller type series there. So if you enjoy what you hear today from Al Macy, he has plenty more fiction for you to check out. And it does look like most of his titles are currently enrolled in Kindle Unlimited, which means if you're already paying for a Kindle Unlimited subscription, you can read these titles for free as part of that subscription. And by the way, if you are listening and you've never checked out Kindle Unlimited, I do want to mention, just for FYI generally, there is a 30-day free trial. And I recommend trying it out, just to check it out and see if you like it. There's a lot of debate in the indie author community as to the usefulness of Kindle Unlimited. I shouldn't say usefulness, it's very useful. I should say rather whether it's good or not for indie authors and for indie authoring as a business. But I won't air all our dirty laundry out for the listeners. If you're an author, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Either way, it's worth checking out, I think, as an option for reading. Good. So I want to go ahead now and read the book blurb, that is the book description that Al wrote for A Mind Reader's Christmas. So here we go. Eric Beckman, a mind-reading private investigator, is spending Christmas in snowy Vermont with his wife and daughter. He needs a break from solving cases, but the townspeople convince him to look into the village mystery. Every holiday season, someone switches the baby Jesus with one of the other figures in the town's nativity scene. With the help of his 10-year-old daughter, also a mind reader, he soon learns that some of the residents of the small town are not who, or even what, they seem to be. There's something supernatural going on in New Bern, Vermont. His investigation causes an escalation of strange happenings, and soon, swapped manger figures are the least of the town's worries. If Beckman can't adjust his view of the world, force himself to believe in things he never thought possible, the Christmas vacation could turn out to be his family's last. A Mind Reader's Christmas may be read as a standalone book or as book four in the Eric Beckman series. All right, there we go. And last but not least, I want to mention, because Al told me this and I think it's super interesting, that he wrote A Mind Reader's Christmas in Camp NaNoWriMo last July. That means he wrote the entire first draft in 1 month, actually 23 days, he said. And he says, "It was the first time I wrote a book quickly, and I decided it's the best way to write." That is stunning to me, 23 days for the entire first draft. And I have to say, you know, Al, I totally get where you're coming from. I myself am so far a fast reader, only I'm tempering it by long periods of I'm a fast writer, but I temper it with long periods of not writing, which is a really bad plan. If I were both more disciplined and a better time manager, I would just write a little every day. What I tend to do is not write a word for 2 weeks and then crank out between 5,000 and 10,000 words a day for 2 or 3 weeks to get one of my short sci-fi novels done. Oh, goodness. So it's kind of an on-off thing. But Al, that's quite impressive to me that you wrote this entire draft in 23 days. Kudos to you. I like a lot what Chris Fox has said about fast writing, which is that you kind of access part of the brain. I don't understand the science behind all this, and maybe Al is now snickering at me because he has a science background. But basically what Chris says is you access functions of the brain differently when you write something really, really quickly, compound in just a few days, versus when you take your time and write it like over the course of a year, because you get into like flow state. And you never really forget anything. You just have this stream of continuity throughout the story. And I don't know about the flow state thing, but I really relate to that idea of the continuity. I find that if I do set a draft aside for a couple of weeks and then come back to it, I'm lost. And not just in terms of the story, but sort of in terms of like the tone. The continuity of the tone is just completely gone. Whereas if I write thousands of words a day for days on end, back to back, that tone is really consistent. So, quick plug for fast writing, I guess. And Camp NaNoWriMo, if anyone doesn't know, is like a baby NaNoWriMo program. It happens in July. So go to NaNoWriMo and check that out if you're interested. All right, without any further rambling or burbling, I should say, on my part, I'm going to get on to today's reading. As always, I want to remind everyone this comes not from an official audiobook, but it's just my reading performed for the show, and it is recorded and presented here with the author's permission. Thanks to Al Macy so much for your permission, for letting me read this, and for getting in contact with me. Thanks to our mutual friend, Alexa Kang, friend of the show, who set us up. Reminder to everyone, if you like what you hear today, A Mind Reader's Christmas is 99 cents just today. And do check out the rest of Al's titles, a number of which are in Kindle Unlimited. I'll see you again next week, everybody, for another indie author reading. Thanks and enjoy. A Mind Reader's Christmas, an Eric Beckman paranormal mystery by Al Macy. Chapter 1. When I looked down the hill, my daughter laughed at my fear. The sun had set, and huge snowflakes stuck to Cosmina's sled and pink parka. I pushed the tail of my cheap plastic sled into the snow and rested my hand on the pointy end. Devil's Hill was the steepest run in the park. If it had been a ski area, a double black diamond sign would have warned away inexperienced sledders like us. Halfway down the hill, a monster dog tugged its bundled-up owner along a walking path, straining against the leash. Other than that, the area was deserted. In the distance, lights winked on in the throwback to the 1800s town of New Bern, Vermont. That's where I was taking a Christmas break from my business, Eric Beckman Investigations. Cosmina, 10 years old and cute as a snow princess, threw me her thought.
It's okay, Dad. Piece of cake.
That's right. My daughter knew I could read her mind. Although I'd kept my secret from most of the world, she'd figured it out when she was a toddler. That Dad could hear her thoughts was no more remarkable than that he could understand the words she spoke aloud. More importantly, I had passed my ability on to her. she could read minds, too. It's not a piece of cake, I pointed. What about that tree? A massive pine loomed next to the ill-defined path that a sled might take. Everything looks soft, sweetheart, but that trunk would...
But, Dad, I can steer it. I know I can.
She tapped the steering bar of the red-runnered flexible flyer. Cosmina had inherited her mother's stubbornness. She pushed the fur-covered hood of her parka back and turned on her irresistible, dimpled smile. Her black hair began picking up snowflakes. I looked at my watch. No, we'd better get back. Mom's probably wondering where we are. Let's leave this one for tomorrow. Our communication was a mix of thought transfer and normal human tongue wagging. When home with my wife, Viviana, we tried to communicate with sound waves only, but it was hard to keep from slipping into our habit. The town rumor was that every year one kid hit that tree when sledding down Devil's Run. Time to call it a day. I looked back along the path that would take us to our cozy rental. If we didn't leave soon, we'd need snowshoes. When I turned back to Cosmina, she was gone.
Urgh!
Just like her mother. She does whatever she wants. She was belly down on the sled, already 10 feet away, accelerating over the snow-covered ice toward the killer tree.
Stop, Cosmina. Fall off, now!
Her laughter echoed in my head. My sled wasn't steerable, and it was much too small for my 6'1" frame, but I couldn't just stand there. I took 2 running steps and launched myself down the hill, like an Olympic swimmer flying off the starting block with a flimsy pink sled clutched against his belly. I landed on the ice, and the plastic cracked down the middle. My chin slammed into the frozen ground, setting off a burst of stars and a ringing in my ears. Pain rocketed through my skull. I cast the broken sled to the side and scrambled to my feet, only to fall again, like some slapstick routine.
Stop, Cosmina!
She was headed right for the tree. Of course. Target fixation, they call it. One can't help but look at an obstacle, and the body tends to go where the eyes are pointed. I clenched my teeth and tried to slide down the hill on my chest, but it was hopeless. She was too far ahead. She turned the sled at the last second. Cosmina had also inherited Viviana's exquisite physical skill. She neatly avoided the deadly tree trunk with a, "Ha! See, Dad?" thought. A thought slammed into me from the walking path by the hill.
My God, not again.
I whipped my head toward the thought. A dog, the beast we'd seen earlier, sprinted away from its mistress. The biggest, ugliest mutt I'd ever seen, black with a brindled pattern of stripes, its attention was laser-focused on my daughter. Target fixation. It ran toward her. The woman held a retractable leash, but the dog outweighed her. Sure enough, when the disgusting animal came to the end of the leash, the woman fell forward, and the leash popped from her hand, flying high into the air.
No, 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 he'll kill her!
Cosmina, look out! I added my thought to the yell, but she was beyond her range for both thoughts and voice. told you I wouldn't hit the tree."
Her thought was clear. It was filled only with joy. She was oblivious to the deadly teeth bounding through the deep snow toward her. I jumped to my feet. By getting off to one side of the trail, I avoided the packed snow and ice that the sleds and toboggans had created. Why hadn't I thought of that before? I ran, high-stepping like someone running through knee-deep water. The mongrel hit a snowbank and got bogged down. Good. But Cosmina had come to the flat section at the bottom of the hill. She slowed. Not good. The dog wasn't growling or snarling. Growling is for aggression against opponents. Other dogs or bears, for example. Cosmina wasn't an opponent. She was prey. She was dinner. I pictured the dog grabbing her face in its slobbery jaws. I can't read the thoughts of animals. What I get from humans are their conscious, verbal thoughts. I get something from animals. Hard to describe, but from this monster, the single-minded thought was clear. Kill! The animal turned its head back toward the now hysterical mistress. But when Cosmina stopped, it got a second wind and bounded through the deep stuff. I was 20 feet behind it. I closed the gap quickly. The dog didn't see me coming. It had a stubby tail. I'd go for a hind leg. I imagined my fist grabbing it. I was good at holding on to things. Yes, I'd get a vicious counterattack, but I didn't care. I might even be able to spin the dog around like an Olympic hammer thrower. My thoughts matched those of the dog. Kill. Kill. I was an enraged bear protecting my cub. I sprang forward, my body parallel to the ground, my arm stretching toward the creature's paw. I missed. Cosmina whipped her head around, finally noticing my raging thoughts. Would she see the dog? Hold the sled between it and her? Hold it off long enough for me to save her? It was no use. Once the dog got out of the deep patch of snow, it rapidly closed the distance to my only daughter. She stood and faced it. No, doggy, stop! The animal stretched out its front legs. It slid on the snow-covered ice, hind legs slipping forward such that its butt hit the ground and it tumbled to a stop. It looked confused. I froze. Cosmina had used her power. The power she didn't know she had. The dog stayed put, swallowing repeatedly and looking stupefied. Its owner came up and apologized. I learned from her thoughts that the dog had once before attacked a child, sending him to the hospital. She'd somehow avoided the destruction of her pet. Cosmina and I walked back to our rental home along a path through the woods. I controlled my thoughts, counting in my head. I did not want Cosmina to learn of her power. Not yet. It had stopped snowing, but the path was still hard to follow in the gloom. When we emerged into a meadow, light from the rising moon lit up the snow, turning the scene into a Christmas card, the kind with shiny bits of glitter on it. Cosmina glanced my way.
We don't need to tell Mommy about what happened, right?
You mean when you took off before I said it was okay?
You didn't say it was not okay.
I said let's leave this for tomorrow. You did not say that.
I thought back. That's exactly what I said. There was nothing wrong with my memory. Yes, my chronological age was 51, but I'd started taking Liforac 7 years earlier, in 2025. Liforac was the wonder drug of the century. It halted aging. My own aging had screeched to a standstill at 44.
You didn't say it, you thought it.
Same thing.
No, it's not. I don't have to...
And I thought it to you. You knew that.
No way, Jose. I'm only 10. I'm new at mind reading.
You've done it since you were 2.5. She stopped walking.
Can you tell?
I turned around. Tell what?
The difference between someone just thinking or thinking to you.
Shoot. She's right. I can't. Hearing thoughts is kind of like hearing whispered speech. It took me years to even get a feeling for the emotional content of someone's thoughts.
Right. I didn't think so.
Okay, new rule. If I think something, whether I'm just thinking it or throwing the thought to you, it's the same as if I said it. If it's not clear, you ask me.
How about a deal?
Here we go again. She's as bad as her mom.
I'm as bad as mom? What?
Oops. Never mind. I had come to understand how it was for Viviana, all her thoughts open to me, like it or not. Sometimes she let me know her thinking was off limits, and I respected that. Usually. When she really wanted to hide her thinking, she counted in Romanian.
What kind of deal? I asked. I'll follow your new rule if you don't tell Mom what happened. About me disobeying.
I laughed. Nice try. We made the turn around a hill, and our rental house came into view. Owned by the Vermont Historical Society, it had been built in the late 1700s. Barn red with smoke drifting up from the chimney, it looked like the kind of house a child would draw. The steep roof had been designed for the heavy snows of yesteryear. Thanks to climate change, those yesteryears were back. The accumulated snow, plowed to the side of the road, was well over my head. We'd rented it for the entire month of December. When we got to the house, Cosmina leaned the flexible flyer against the railing on the small porch, and we pushed in through the front door to overwhelming coziness.
We're home,
Cosmina and I said together. A Christmas tree stood in the corner of the living room, decorated with the ornaments we'd brought from our home in San Francisco. We'd collected some more decorations from a Christmas bazaar at New Bern's Methodist Church, but hadn't put them up yet. The room had a low ceiling, with irregular beams extending across it. A brick hearth stretched across an entire side of the room, and a stone fireplace held a crackling fire. We'd arranged the mismatched armchairs and couch to take advantage of the heat from the fireplace. Judging by the delicious scents filling the house, Viviana had made cioccolata di casa, Romanian fudge. Sure, she was tough, but she had a soft, domestic side, too. She came from the restored kitchen, wiping her hands on the apron I'd given her. I'd had it embroidered with the Romanian words, Lingheti servito a rele. I'd meant for it to translate to kiss the cook, But apparently it was closer to lick the servant girls. Yeah, difficult language. Viviana kissed Cosmina on the forehead. Had fun slaying? I guess English is a pretty difficult language, too. She knows it pretty well, but usually sounds like a Russian mobster. Viviana had also taken Lyphorac in 2025, but since she was 9 years younger than I was, her aging halted at 35. Our looks couldn't have been more different. I looked like an aging surf bum. Well, older would be the right term, since I was no longer aging. And she looked like a European princess. Her dark hair usually flowed down her back, but she'd tied it in a ponytail for cooking. Her face was elegant, except for the button nose. The nose had once been elegant, too, but as part of a disguise, she'd had a plastic surgeon hack it off. Sounds radical, but she hadn't wanted people to recognize her. I missed the old nose.
Sledding, Mommy, not slaying, Cosmina said.
My wife was slim, but curvy in all the right places. I gave her a hug and kissed the chocolata off her lips. When I felt those curvy places through her cashmere sweater, my thoughts turned to what we'd do in our snug bedroom after Cosmina went to sleep.
Ew, gross!
Cosmina put her hands over her ears, as if that's how the thoughts got in, and went down the hall to her bedroom. We were going to have to give her the birds and the bees talk pretty soon so she'd understand the thoughts her mom and I sometimes had. The thoughts most adults had, actually. You'd be surprised at how often thoughts about sex passed through people's minds. Viviana kissed me.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I whispered in her ear, pretty close. Poor Viviana. I'd never appreciated how unpleasant it was to have the privacy of one's thoughts invaded, until Cosmina started reading my mind. There were very few secrets in our house. I'd tried to find a way to block my outgoing thoughts, but I had no one to give me feedback, no one to tell me whether my experiments were working. No matter what I bribed her with, Cosmina certainly wasn't going to help. Even if she did, I wouldn't put it past her to say,
"Bingo! Wow, Dad, that worked! I couldn't read your thoughts at all!"
When, in fact, they were coming through loud and clear. The best way to block the output was to count in my head. That is, tie up my verbal thoughts so that my real thinking didn't leak out. Viviana had perfected that technique once I'd learned Romanian. Although mind reading seemed to be something one inherits, it takes a ridiculous amount of practice to develop the skill. I was able to restrict my reading to particular directions, extend or reduce its range, and, most importantly, turn it off. Cosmina hadn't learned all that yet, but we were working on it. We had practice sessions several times a week. It was hard work, but she was determined to match or exceed my skill level. We had a wonderful dinner of Romanian cabbage rolls spiced with onion, dill, and pepper. Cosmina had hated them when younger, but finally came around. The synthetic red wine rivaled anything I'd ever tasted. After Cosmina went to bed, and after Viviana and I did the things we'd been thinking about, she whispered,
"Did something happen today?"
She can read minds, too, the old-fashioned way, through body language. I nodded and probed for Cosmina's thoughts. She was asleep. Thoughts have a particular, wavy pattern when someone is sleeping. Cosmina was dreaming, something about riding a dog. Back at home, I'd installed tungsten shielding in the wall of our bedroom. It was the metal most effective in blocking mind reading. We did need private thoughts if we wanted to be good parents. Yes, something happened. Cosmina used her mind control ability. I filled my wife in on the events with the dog. That Cosmina had disobeyed me, well, disobeyed my thoughts, wasn't important. Her ability to stop the dog dead in its tracks was. So, she knows. I puffed out my cheeks. I would have thought so, but there was nothing in her thinking that suggested she was aware of what she'd done. She didn't think, boy, I sure stopped that doggy. But she must know. Some of those with my talent are able to project their thoughts and compel others to act. I'd first encountered another mind reader when on a case working undercover in an evil psychiatric hospital. She'd showed me that the skill could be turned around, that thoughts could be forced into someone else's head. I had that ability as well, but for me it only happened when I was exhausted. As in, ran a marathon exhausted. It wasn't a very convenient superpower. But Cosmina had executed her mind control power several times over the years. Unwittingly, it seemed. What a parenting nightmare it would be if she realized what she was capable of. I could block my inputs, but Viviana was vulnerable. Cosmina was a good kid, but power corrupts, and superpower corrupts, superlatively? We didn't want to see that. I could picture her ordering her mom around. Take me to the mall, now! You've never felt her compel you to do anything? I asked. Just the one time. We'd discovered Cosmina's power when she was 2.5. As with the dog, she had stopped Viviana in her tracks when, well, it was an episode neither of us wanted to revisit. Any subtle push? I asked. One worry was that she'd figure out mind control, but used it in subtle ways, so we wouldn't know that she knew. Like a bank robber spending his millions in dribs and drabs so as not to be caught. Definitely no. And would know from her thoughts, yes? I nodded. She couldn't keep it a secret from me. She's sneaky, like someone else I know. Viviana pinched my butt. Ow. But her ability to block my mind reading isn't that sophisticated. We snuggled for a few minutes. I pointed out the window. Did you find out anything about that? Our house was isolated, but in a field below us, stone ruins of what may once have been a large building cast moon shadows on the unbroken snow. Viviana nodded. Nobody wanted to talk about it, but was some kind of group home. I can understand why no one wants to talk about it. Why? Have you been over there? No, she said. While I was looking around, I was sure someone was watching me. I could have sworn I heard some whispering or crying, but when I spun around, there was no one there. It's hard to describe, but I felt a kind of queasiness. In stomach? No. I tapped my forehead. In my mind.
This concludes another episode of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. Thanks for joining me, your host, Benjamin Douglas, for another indie author reading. If you liked what you heard, be sure to visit http://thebookspeakspodcast.wordpress.com for more episodes and for links to the author's website and the author's Amazon author page in the show notes. If you'd like to follow me on my own author journey, you can find me at http://benjamindouglasbooks.wordpress.com. And of course, if you're an indie author interested in having your work featured on the show, or if you're interested in discussing having your book read and produced by me as an audiobook, feel free to contact me at benjamindouglasbooks@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you have a productive and enjoyable weekend.